Hello and welcome to today's episode. Today I am here with Alexa West and we're going to talk about how to travel on any budget. And those of you who know me know I love to travel, so near and dear to my heart today. You are listening to Creating Wellness from Within, a podcast devoted to helping you live your best life through self-care and wellness. In each episode, we strive to offer you actionable advice and tools to help you on your journey towards greater personal wellness. I am your host, Amy Zellmer. I am editor-in-chief of Midwest Yoga and Life magazine and author of the Chair Yoga Pocket Guide, available on Amazon. I am passionate about yoga, wellness, photography, travel, and all things glittery. You can learn more about me at creatingwellnessfromwithin.com. Today, my guest is Alexa West, and in 2011, she sat on her bedroom floor, packed her life into a backpack, and got a one-way ticket with just $200 in her pocket. She turned that $200 into over 10 years of full-time travel. She went from budget backpacker to solo female travel expert, and now teaches thousands of women how to travel alone and make money from anywhere. In her new book, The One-Way Ticket Plan, Find and Fund Your Purpose While Traveling the World, Alexa reveals her decades worth of lessons, embarrassments, regrets, love stories, shortcuts, and problem-solving strategies, all packed into a wild page turner and actionable plan for a total life makeover. Welcome, Alexa. What a beautiful bio.
Hi, thank you for having me. Thank you.
Well, I am really excited to dive in to today's topic because I am a solo traveler and I've definitely learned how to travel on a budget. And you know, it makes me so sad when people say that they just can't afford to travel. And I'm like, oh, but you can. So excited to jump in. Where would you like to start? Maybe we got that little glimpse into how it all started for you, but maybe you want to take us back a little bit and how this journey began.
Sure. Well, just to kind of piggyback on what you just said of how people think they can't afford to travel, I'll be really sharing like the distinction between vacation budgets and travel budgets. You know, like vacation budget is you fly to Mexico and you're there for a week and you spend, you know, money fulfilling your bucket list, whereas travel budget is more like you're living like a local and traveling, spending slowly, which is how I started it. After college, I joined the Peace Corps. So I was a broke young girl. I had just turned 22 and I didn't have much money, but I knew that I wanted to travel. And for me, I just immediately started finding programs that would fund my travels. So the first one was the Peace Corps. And that took me to Bulgaria for 2 years. And that paid for that. That's an American organization, American volunteer organization. That paid for my flight, my housing, and my food, and my cost of living. And then when that was over, I was a teacher in South Korea for 2 years. And that's another program. They paid for my housing, my flight, my cost of living, my health insurance, some of the best health insurance I've ever had, and a salary. And I just kept going like that. I just kept finding programs that would pay for my living. And then eventually I started building my own company, writing books. And then I started house sitting. So I was building my company while living for free. So in my new book, The One-Way Ticket Plan, chapter 2 is called Travel Paths. And it's just every way that I've traveled and traveled for cheap or found someone to pay me or just took that burden off of my wallet while I traveled.
Yeah. And I mean, what a great way to get to see the world in your case. And you know, if traveling abroad seems overwhelming, you know, you can start locally too. There's lots of, you know, I have a good friend, she's actually retired, but she was living in her RV and, she would work at the national parks. She'd travel to different national parks and do like 6 months, in one location. And
brilliant.
I mean, what a great way.
Huh? She would get like paid for, she would get paid by them.
Yep.
I've never heard of that. I have to take note of that. That's brilliant.
Oh yeah. National parks pay their employees. They also have a lot of volunteer opportunities,
but it's just great that like they kind of hire on short contracts. That's fantastic.
A lot of your national parks, well, not that they're only open seasonally, but they're more, you know, busy seasonally, right? Mm. Like Yellowstone, for instance, winter is not their prime season, but they're still open.
Yeah. That's great. I love that. And also, you know, another way, if you don't want to travel abroad alone, is to do house sitting. There's this mm-hmm. website called trustedhousesitters.com. You go on there and you will find so many cool houses in the city and in New York, houses like, you know, out in the country in Utah. And, you know, you can go for 3 days or maybe a month or weeks. So there's a lot of ways to adventure that don't involve, you know, just a hotel stay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, in my situation, I love to travel and I can work from anywhere. Right.
Yeah.
So I just bring my work with me. And I think that's a side that a lot of people don't see. You know, they see me traveling, but then they don't see me in my hotel room or wherever I am in the evening, you know, working for hours, getting things done. But yeah, you know, I can travel from wherever I can work from wherever I am, which gives me that flexibility to travel. And sure, I probably have more stability if I had, you know, a corporate 9-to-5 job, but then I'd only have a week or two of vacation a year. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's just like devastating.
Yeah. And, you know, though there is kind of an illusion, the stability of a 9-to-5, because, yeah,
agreed.
You know, I'm living here in Seattle and I have so many friends at Amazon that just got laid off, or at Spotify that just got laid off, and they get really cool severance packages though. So that's fantastic. But, you know, for me owning my own business, you know, some months might be more fruitful than others, but I'm never going to lay myself off unless I choose to, which, you mm-hmm. know, retirement or something. But
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us, you know, what are some of your tips for people who are interested in pursuing these different travel options? Like, how could one get started? Like, let's, you know, like you did the Peace Corps, but like, say it's someone maybe in their 40s or 50s or even their 60s. They're maybe just retired and they want to start traveling and living a travel lifestyle. You know, what are some tips and tricks, and what are some ways that they could get started with this?
You know, when I was in the Peace Corps, I was the youngest one.
Really?
Yes. The oldest woman was in her 60s. She was a grandmother. And I believe that she was actually married, and she just was like, she told her husband, like, listen, I gotta go on an adventure. And she was like, I'll be back soon.
I love that.
Years. And there were a lot of couples in their 50s and 60s that were in the Peace Corps. A lot of people in their 30s. So I love a program that is going to take you out of like the normal travel path. And the nice thing about the Peace Corps is that you have so much support. You have like country directors that are kind of like helping you. But that there is a fine line between like the Peace Corps and other volunteer programs. A lot of volunteer programs mm-hmm. actually do more harm than good. So the Peace Corps is one that I definitely would put my stamp of approval on. But really, like, you know, I wrote this book for exactly this, of like people that want to go. It's, you know, girls after college and they don't know what they want to do next. It's maybe, you know, a girl that's 40 and just got divorced and is like, now what I do? Or maybe it's a couple and their kids have, you know, left the nest and they're like, now what do we do? So it's, I think it's just finding all of your options and seeing which one feels good. So you can either, you know, throw a million darts at the dartboard and see what sticks, or you can just pick one path and say, screw it. Like, I'm going to pack everything up for 6 months, get on a one-way ticket, plan, you know, the first 2 weeks and see what happens. I think we all like to have structure, but sometimes the best way to start an adventure is just to decide to go.
And, you know, talking about the Peace Corps, and actually, you know, I always think of people going into that right out of college. That's why I kind of had it in my head, it would be younger folks. But there is some safety in traveling internationally with a group like that. Because like you said, there are coordinators and people helping you. It's not like you're just out on your own.
Yeah. Well, you know, they do drop you off in a village on your own, but it's like, you at least, you know, who you can pick up the phone and
right.
call.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, I think the thing that drew me in, and why I reached out was, New World Library had shared on their Instagram, a quote from you, and it says, "Every woman should travel solo at least once in her life, if only to learn how strong she is on her own." And that was the quote that, like really drew me in, because, you know, I travel solo all the time. I enjoy traveling with friends, but I enjoy traveling on my own more. Yeah. And when I went out on my first big solo trip, I think it was like 2011. All mine are road trips, right? Like I drive all over the US, and I was going like to Niagara and then New York and Boston and then coming back down and around. And people are like, "Wow, that's really brave. Like, aren't you scared?" And I'm like, should I be scared? Like, I started second guessing myself, because I was like, should I be? Because all these women were like, "Wow, I can't believe you're doing that by yourself." And I'm just like, but why can't I do this by myself? You know, like, I do take precautions. Like, you know, I do not like checking into a hotel after dark, and I don't, you know, I don't stay at Airbnbs because I am alone. Because everybody's always like, "Why don't you do Airbnb?" And I'm like, you just don't know what you're getting into in an Airbnb. Like, where,
yeah, I like to have a concierge. That's why I like hotels.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, I mean, even just in the way of like at an Airbnb, you check in and you're all by yourself, and then but in a hotel, you check in, there's someone at the front desk, and you can call down if you have an issue. Usually there's like 24/7. So I'm with you on that one, actually.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I prefer hotels.
And I've heard too many stories on Airbnbs, because usually you get a digital code to enter the home and they don't ever change them. Mm. And I've just heard too many stories of that. And I'm like, yeah, that's not safe when you're a single traveler.
Yeah. I agree with you. Yeah. So the first company I started was called the Solo Girls Travel Guide. And it's a collection of guidebooks for women of different destinations. So it's kind of like Lonely Planet for women. And I started it because I had so many women being like, "Isn't it, I want to go to Thailand, but I've heard it's dangerous." And so I'm just like, let me show you how not dangerous it is. Mm-hmm. And let me like pave a path for you to follow, so you'll feel better doing it on your own. Even for me as a woman, sometimes I want to know, you know, that, you know, I know someone who's gone to India into this town and had this experience. And so it's kind of like, if she did it, then I can do it. So hearing that you go and you do your own travels on your own, you just have a bravery in you that, you know, most people, you know, some people need to see you go before they go, and then they'll go, you know? So we all kind of take our steps towards bravery at a different pace. So that's great that you can be a role model for these people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I think even when I was married, I still traveled on my own.
Yeah.
And cause I think for some women, that is like the holdback, like their husband doesn't like to travel, mm-hmm. or their, you know, their partner. And that I can see how that holds you back.
Yeah.
And in some cases they might not, you know, allow them to go on their own or whatever the case may be. But, you know, it's there's just like this power in traveling alone. And I do love meeting up with people when I'm traveling.
Yeah.
But then like, I get to go back in my car by myself, and like, yeah. I'm an introvert at heart.
Yeah. I understand.
And I appreciate taking group tours. When I go places, because then I am like with other people and I'm learning about the area. So I'm curious, like, if you do things like that too on your travel.
Yeah. I do something that I call a mini solo. So I traveled by myself for over 10 years. And then I met my boyfriend, who I love, and I've been with him for almost 3 years, and we travel together. But then I like to break off and travel alone, because it's really not the same. I love traveling with him. Mm-hmm. It's really special. We get to like make a lot of memories together, but I'm not really having that like empowering experience by myself. So for example, we'll fly to Thailand together and we'll travel together for a month, and then he'll go home and I'll carry on to Cambodia by myself for another month. So I like the balance, but they're not the same experience whatsoever. And if he told me, I don't want you to travel alone, I probably wouldn't be with him. I need a man that's going to say, you know, I know who you are and I'm going to let you do what you want to do. You know, don't try and stop me. It's not going to go well for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there is something about sharing that passion with someone of traveling. Yeah. And like you said, travel versus vacation, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I have traveled with people who just want a vacation. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong. Those are fun too.
I love it sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. Just go but hang at the beach for a week.
It's not the only thing there.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and sometimes I do overbook myself on a trip, like, cause I'm road tripping. So I'm driving all day and then I get to a hotel and then I get up in the morning and drive again. And then like, I have an activity and then I drive and I sometimes forget to build in rest days.
Yeah. That's right.
And rest days are important.
Yeah. I lost you for a second. I'm back.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Did you hear what I was saying about rest days? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
anything similar.
I will literally schedule in a down day because even if it doesn't become a down day, it's a day that it's like, oh, you know, yesterday I had this restaurant in my itinerary. I never got to go. So now I have a day that I get to kind of like spill over my adventures or do nothing. It's just as important to like have those reflection days while you're traveling, you know, so you can kind of absorb it and soak it all in. And then another thing that I find is, when I plan nothing, those days end up being like the most fun or eventful. It's like, I just plan to go down to the mini mart to grab a Snickers. And I end up on this crazy adventure with some strangers I met at the mini mart because I had no plan so I could say yes to them. I think just having some open days is very important.
Mm-hmm. And so I know you do a lot more international traveling than I do, but I feel like you might have a similar experience of meeting people. Like, I'm an introvert, but at the same time, I do enjoy talking to people. And so like, I went out to eat, I was in the Ozarks and I went out to eat and there was a couple and I used to have a Yorkie and she passed away in 2020 and this couple had a Yorkie. So it was like instant connection. I went over and was snuggling with the Yorkie and they were locals. And so they were telling me all these great places to eat and to go and see and things like I hadn't even heard of. And so I would assume even internationally, when you're traveling, you have similar experiences.
Yeah. One of the tips I have is if you're in a hotel bar or I don't know, at a hostel or something, instead of going and asking the concierge for food recommendations or adventure recommendations, ask other travelers. Because if you go up to another traveler and you just say, hey, have you been to the waterfalls yet? They might be like, no, I haven't been. Do you want to go together? Or they might say,
yes,
I went yesterday. Here's my recommendation. Afterwards, you should try, you know, this pizza place next door to the waterfall. And I actually find that the travelers have more up-to-date information than like the hotel workers anyways, you know, the travelers are out there doing things all the time. So that's just one way that you can fast track connection with strangers is ask them your questions rather than asking the front desk your questions.
Yeah, I like that. And I like how you said do things with them. I was in the Pacific Northwest a few years ago and it was Cannon Beach and I finally found it. It's not easy to find. And I had pulled in and parked and was getting out. And then this gal parked in front of me and we literally got the last two parking spots. And she was just commenting how, oh, I'm so glad I got the last parking spot. And I didn't think much of it. And, you know, I could tell she was by herself. And I started walking down all the 10,000 steps to get down to the beach. And I waited for her and I'm like, would you like to walk together? And she was like, oh, I'd love that. And she was solo traveling. I believe she was from San Diego. And so she had also been solo traveling and, you know, we both were at that point where it was nice to have some human interaction with somebody else. So that's always really fun too, when stuff like that happens.
Yeah. And you know, you might be hesitant to look at a stranger and be like, hey, like, do you want to walk with me? Like some people might be like, no, I don't want to bother that person. But as the solo traveler, if someone turned to me and was like, hey, do you want to come with me? I'm going to be like, yes, of course. So I always say that if people wanted to be alone, especially international, they would have stayed home. You know, if they wanted no one to talk to them, they probably would have stayed home. Probably. And if that woman said to you, you know, I'm just walking on my own. You know, I'm having a moment of a breakup. You'd say, okay, right. like if you change your mind, you know where I am, or, you know, there's no harm in asking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that was really fun. We walked for like a couple hours and it was just beautiful out. Yeah. You know, so there's always neat things that unexpectedly happen when you're traveling sometimes. The other cool thing I've seen a lot are the kindness rocks.
I don't know that.
So it's like the Kindness Rocks Project or something like that. You can find it. But people paint rocks and then they hide them in kind of hide them in plain sight, right? Like they want you to find it. And so I have found rocks in all sorts of different states. And then you take a picture and you post it that you found it and you tag, like they usually put their handle on the backside of the rock. It's just kind of fun. And people can be so creative.
That's really cute. I have to look.
Yeah, you got to look it up. Everywhere. Look it up.
Mm-hmm. How cool.
Yeah. So that's I'm always really excited. I found one on the top of a gas pump once. It was literally hidden in plain sight, right?
That is really funny. That's so funny. I bet you all see them all the time now.
Yeah. And I just recently found one on Cape Cod. I was on a little trail and I usually leave them. Once in a while, I'll take it with me if it speaks to me, but I usually leave it so somebody else can find it too.
Yeah.
So talking, going back to kind of like, you know, your budget and, you know, you originally left with $200 in your pocket and traveled for 10 years on that, $200. And I'm very similar. I travel with a super tight budget. And I often will get a hotel that has like a mini kitchen in it.
Yes.
So that I can cook some of my own meals instead of having to eat out all the time, especially if the cost of going out to eat has just gone way up. And so like any tips you have in that way?
A mini fridge is a lifesaver. It's a lifesaver.
And a microwave.
and a microwave. For example, when you go to Cambodia, if you go to the Angkor Wat temples, a lot of people go to the temples for sunrise at like 5 a.m. And then you're on, you know, a tour for like, you know, 5 hours. The problem is that most hotel restaurants aren't open at 5 a.m. Most restaurants themselves aren't open at 5 a.m. So what I've gotten in the habit of doing is I order a insane amount of dumplings from this spot the night before. I eat half for dinner and I put half in the fridge and then that's my breakfast for the next morning. So just having a fridge makes a world of difference and the dumplings are so cheap. Having the fridge is great. I always carry fruit with me. I love taking advantage of like local fruit markets and finding like exotic fruit. Fruit is underrated. It's underrated. People are like, oh, I don't want an apple, but it's like, oh, but you could have like a mangosteen or like, you know, some snake fruit or something. So utilizing the local markets, local snacks, always, if you can, get a fridge. I don't do much cooking though when I'm traveling. I don't do much cooking, but I more so just utilize leftovers.
Yeah. And when I say cooking, it's usually prepackaged food.
Okay.
But just having that ability, it's still cheaper than going out to eat.
Totally.
Yeah.
And when I order food, I think like what's going to make for the best leftovers. Like
I do too. French fries
not going to work, you know, but yeah.
And like, you know, your Thai and Asian foods always give you like a ton of food. And so you always are going to have a leftover. Like if I get a pad Thai or something, I'm the same way. And what can I eat cold if I have to eat it cold?
Yes. Yep, I think that way too.
And I travel with a cooler. Again, I'm in my car. So I always travel with a cooler. So worst case scenario, I can get a bag of ice, you know, at hot tip. I always travel with the big gallon size Ziploc baggies. Mm-hmm. So you can go fill that up with ice and put it in your cooler. Because you don't want ice melting in your cooler because everything gets wet and gross.
Yeah.
So I always travel with the gallon Ziploc baggies for that.
Good tip.
I like and they tip. Work, and they also work for leftovers if you need to as well.
Yeah. Another, me and my boyfriend, we love road tripping to the Oregon coast. And when we camp at like a river, we'll just take all of our stuff out, tie a rope around like a bottle or tie a rope around a bag and just put it in the river. And the river keeps our food cold. That's a fun one too. Except one time we forgot like a really nice bottle of wine. Oh. I was like, let's turn around and get it. He's like, no, it's for someone else. It's a gift for someone else in the river. Yeah. Wine river.
What a surprise for someone to find.
I know. No.
Yeah. And, you know, I do a lot of like traveling in the middle of hot summer too can be, you know, making sure that you carry water with you. And as a car traveler, there's always the risk that something could happen that you could break down.
Mm-hmm. So you have like,
having water.
Got to have your water and your blankets and your flashlights. Safety kits always.
Is there anything specifically that you bring with when you travel internationally, like a safety kit, so to speak?
Let's see. I have a few things that I usually have right here with me. One thing that I travel with is called the She's Birdie alarm. Have you heard of it?
No.
I usually have it right with me. It's this like keychain alarm, and when you yank it apart, it makes this really loud noise and a flashing light. And it's not pepper spray, but it makes me feel like I'm secure like pepper spray. I was sleeping in this hut in Cambodia in the middle of nowhere, and there was a bunch of like men around, and it made me so nervous. But just sleeping with that alarm in my hand, I slept with it in my hand. It made me feel so much better, because if someone tries to come in my room, then I yank that, and it is.
Everybody's going to hear it.
It's going to draw attention. It's going to spook that person. So that alarm is just something that makes me feel really good. You can also get these door alarms. I should have them with me right now, but you tie one end around the door handle and you put these little prongs in the door. That way, if someone opens your door at night, then an alarm goes off as well. So alarms are my thing. I like to kind of like booby trap my space.
Yeah. I have mine as a doorstop alarm.
Oh yeah.
And so you get it to, so if someone were to open the door, it would trigger the alarm. And again, it's that high shrill. So it would wake me up if I'm sleeping, and like I'm in a hotel. So like someone's going to hear it and hopefully
it'll draw attention. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'll draw attention, and then it'll spook that person.
Yeah.
Who thought it would be quiet and creepy.
Yep. And honestly, I mean, I have only had one weird experience ever really.
I want to hear it.
I was in, and I stay at a lot of budget motels. And I was in Provo, Utah, and I was in the first floor. There was only two stories. And then, you know, the outside, you go in through the outside of your room, or you know what I mean? Like your door goes to outside versus the hallway.
Right.
And I had been out, I had my dog at the time, and I was out walking her, and the guy above me, you know, sometimes these budget hotels have long-term tenants. And this guy was like, hey, do you have a phone charger I can borrow? And I'm like, how do I get out of this? And I was like, well, what kind of phone do you have? And he's like, an Android. I'm like, sorry, I'm Apple. He's like, okay. And that was like the end of that interaction. But then that night, I was on the phone with a friend, and all of a sudden someone was banging on my door. And I looked out the people. It was not that guy, but I think they were looking for that guy.
That's so creepy.
And they kept saying, I know you're in there. Open up. And so I called the front desk. And he's like, okay. And again, going back to what you said about staying at a hotel, you have that front desk concierge.
Yes.
And he's like, oh, okay. I'll come check it out. And then it happened again, like an hour later. It was the same people banging on the door. Like, come on, let us in. And again, I don't think they were looking for me. I think they were looking for the people above. And I called the front desk again. I'm like, if this happens again, I'm calling the police. He's like, absolutely. He's like, don't answer the door. I'm going to come take care of it. And then he called me back and assured me they were taken care of. And then I heard him go up, and all the people upstairs left as well. So
weird.
But that's my only like sketch, creepy. I've been propositioned numerous times, like, hey, are you looking for a friend tonight? And I'm like, no,
oh
thanks.
My gosh.
And they're like, okay, cool.
Oh.
But yeah, like I've been in sketchy areas where I'm like, ooh, I didn't realize where I was booking. Mm. But I never have really felt unsafe. So
that's good. That's really good. I haven't had anything too tragic happen to me either in 13 years of travel. I haven't had anything terrifying. I've had some situations that were not ideal, but nothing too traumatic, which is crazy after 13 years, you know, knock on wood.
Yeah. And going back to that whole, like, everybody, oh, aren't you scared to travel by yourself? And, you know, I really haven't had anything to make me think it should be scary. I was at a rest stop once walking my dog, and I had an old trucker guy come up alongside me. Can I tell you a story? And I immediately like did a 360 because, you know, human trafficking is a real thing. And that's what they do. Someone distracts you and then someone takes you. And I mean, I'm a plus size woman. I'm not their ideal target, but you never know. And turned out he wanted me to tell me. Turns out he just wanted to tell me a cute story about a Yorkie, but it was totally innocent. But my little spidey senses went up.
Oh, I think that's important, is just to be aware that things happen. Once you're aware that things can happen, you are less of an easy target. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're naive and clueless, you're an easy target. If you are a little bit paranoid, you're less of an easy target. I think it that just kind of, that matters. Like, I watch a lot of Dateline, you know?
Right.
And so I'm always like, you know, what's that guy doing? Like, my spidey senses are always up.
Yes.
I trust people to an extent.
Yep.
I trust people to an extent, and I am really fascinated with solo female travelers that have gone missing abroad. And I'm working with a TV producer right now to put a TV show together about this. And the funny thing is, not the funny thing, but the wild thing is, it's so rare that I actually don't have a long list. Like, we don't have two seasons. Like, it's so rare that women go missing abroad, but the one story that we hear really sticks out, you know? I mean, but women go missing in my town every day, you know? So,
right.
So statistically, us tourists and travelers, things are not happening like they show us in the movies and stuff like that. But it just takes one story to spook us. And that's good, because once you're scared, you're less of an easy target. Once you're scared, you're looking over your shoulder, and that's great. Being a little scared is great. I never say be fearless. You need your fear. You need to be like, you know, that alleyway freaks me out. I'm not going to go down it.
Yep.
I'm afraid of everything. And that's probably why I don't have bad things happen to me. It's because, like, I'm afraid of everything. I'm suspicious of everything, but I still go.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. And trusting your intuition. If something doesn't feel right, leave.
Yeah.
I have pulled into rest stops before. Most of your, like, when you're on the tollway or the interstates, most of those big public rest stops are fine. There's lots of people, but then you get into more rural, on like county roads, and those rest stops can be a little more deserted and sketchy. And there have been times where I pulled into one and been like, and pulled right back out and kept, or a gas station even for that matter.
Yeah.
You know, so just trusting that intuition.
Yep. And I used to be the girl that didn't want to be rude. So like, there was like situations where I'd sit down in a restaurant and I'd get like bad vibes from all the men in there, you know, but I'd stay, and then I'd get kind of like harassed. And now I was in Cambodia, I was in Phnom Penh, and I went into this Indian restaurant, and it just was not good vibes. But the guy had already brought me my menus and like a little snack, and old me would have been like, well, the snack's already here, I don't want to be rude. But in this case, I was like, you know, thank you very much. And I was able to be graceful and leave, because all of my alarm bells were going off.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, there is a way to remove yourself gracefully. And if I wasn't able to remove myself gracefully and I needed to flip a table and move, I probably would have done that too. So I think it's like, you know, trusting your gut to whatever extent you need to.
And I do have a, like a self-defense tool. It's your keychain. And then like you put your fingers and little spikes go between your fingers, like, and then it has a big spike on the end. So like, if you had to like, you know, go behind you with it. Right. So I do carry that when I'm in a more deserted type area. Like even your national park, sometimes you're kind of in the middle of nowhere. Where like your alarm wouldn't necessarily help because there's no one to hear it. But I do, I have thought about getting one of those alarms. I do think that they would be,
Do you carry pepper spray?
I don't.
I do. I sleep with it next to my bed.
I know I have experienced pepper spray and I know what happens when you're close proximity to it. So I don't feel it's the greatest self-defense weapon when you're in a confined space.
Can you tell me more about that?
My eyes were burning and crying.
you so, used it and it kind of backfired on you.
Yes. And this was more in like a, this was in a controlled, we were learning how to use it type environment. Oh. Like this wasn't like, I had to use it for self-defense, but just knowing that I was like, I don't know if this is my favorite self-defense weapon. I mean, it's going to make the offender also like the eyes just started running and sneezing and wheezing. Like, am I going to be able to get away from this person? Yeah. Cause you're going to get it too when you spray it. So
I've practiced outside with it a few times and outside it feels okay, but you're right. I would imagine if it's indoors, you're right. It could hinder you.
Yep. Yep. Where like that self-defense thing, if I mean, go for the eyes or the thighs. Right. Yeah. Like that's where you're going to cripple them. They're not going to run after you. No. And hopefully I never have to use it.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, better prepared.
Yeah. Yep. Prepared is pro. Right. So, well, this has been great. Yeah. So many great tips, Alexa. We went off course and I'm totally okay with that.
I love when conversations are like that.
Yeah. Yep. They're more organic. I want to make sure we take time to talk about your website, alexa-west.com and wherever you're listening, we've got a link in the show notes. But tell us a little bit, what can we find on your website and where can we find your book?
Everything is on my website. So you can access all of my Solo Girls travel guidebooks, the one-way ticket plans on there. I have free mini guides for a lot of the countries that I travel to. I have a new course coming out. So I've published 13 books now. I don't know. I've lost track. So I have a new course coming out called Publish Your Damn Book Course. That'll be on the website soon. What else is on there? Just a little bit of everything. You can hire me to give you advice on travel. I can help you plan your trips. I do everything. Everything's on the website.
That's awesome. And, you know, especially if it's your first trip and you feel like you don't know what you're doing, it's great to have someone to consult with. And one thing I had thought of earlier and I forgot to mention too, is like, honestly, Facebook is a plethora of information.
It is.
I am in numerous groups, different travel groups for different things. And like ask a question and you're going to get 200 answers. So like, it's awesome.
Yeah. I actually have a travel group. It's Solo Girls Travel. And you can find that on my website. And I think we have like around 6,000 members, which is nice because it's enough that we help each other, but it's not too overwhelming.
Yeah.
So I'm in that group too. So if you guys ask questions in that group, I'm there.
Yeah. Yeah. So Facebook has, as much as people have come to not like Facebook these days, I feel like there's still,
I use it for really, groups.
Yep. There's some great groups. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, thank you, Alexa, so much for being here today. This has been great.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you everyone for listening. I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please consider leaving a 5-star review wherever you're listening to help others on their wellness journey discover this podcast. And also be sure to head to MidwestYogaLife.com and get on our email list to stay in the know of local events, the upcoming yoga conference, and so much more. Have a great day, everyone. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.